Okay.
Yeah, but he had it, man.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, quick recap of what we have seen in Brahma Samhita so far. In the very first class, we covered the introduction of Brahma Samhita. What is Brahma Samhita? How many verses are there? Which chapter we have? And what are the commentaries available? And also, we went through the history of how we received the Brahma Samhita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he retrieved it from the Adikeshava temple. So that was covered in the first class. Then in the second class, we covered verses 1 and 2. That is how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this was established by the verse Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. And the verse further went on to say that he resides in a supreme abode, which is known as Goloka Vrindavan. Then we further discussed in the next verse that Gokul and Goloka are non-different. That is, the material Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan are non-different. It is only an extension of the spiritual world. So that is the next thing we saw from in verses 1 and 2. Then in the third class, we saw a structure of how Goloka Vrindavan looks. And the same structure applies to Gokul Vrindavan also. So we saw that it is in the form of a lotus. And this lotus has a whirl in the center. And in this whirl, in the center whirl, we have Radha and Krishna standing under a Kalpavriksha tree. And there we see the Gopal mantra in a hexagonal figure. We discussed this in detail in the previous class. And also we saw in the next verse how the different petals are actually the residence of the gopis. And that is the first row of petals is the residence of the gopis. And then the next row is the residence of the manjaris. Like that it goes on. And many associates of Krishna take residence in all these petals. We also saw the abode of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda as the petals open up more and more. Also, we saw different mantras. Like first we discussed the Gopal Gayatri that is there in the central hexagonal, near the central whirl. Then we saw Kama Gayatri is also inscribed in this yantra. And then we saw the difference between Prakatalila and Aprakatalila. That is, there is one Prakatalila, that is when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. And the Aprakatalila, or the Leela that is not seen by our eyes, or the unmanifest pastimes, are happening both in Goloka Vrindavan, in the sense that we cannot see what is happening in Goloka Vrindavan, so it is Aprakata for us. And also the other Aprakatalila is that Leela that is happening continuously, in the Bhauma Vrindavan or the Vrindavan of this earth. But unfortunately, because of our material conditioning, we are not able to see it. And as our material conditioning and contaminations are removed, slowly we enter into the Aprakata Leela. Then we discussed what is the method of entering into the Aprakata Leela. So there are two steps. One is mantra upasana, like receiving a mantra from a guru and practicing and meditating on it, fixing the yantra in our mind and chanting the mantra. And then once one perfects it, he enters into the stage of Swarasaki. Swarasaki stage means that is you enter into a particular pastime of Krishna. Once you enter into a particular pastime of Krishna you have been meditating on, then you can easily flow from one pastime to the other and you enter the complete Aprakata Leela that is happening in the material Vrindavan or Vrindavan of this world. Okay, and also we discussed about how this Goloka Vrindavan is shaped like a lotus and it opens and closes, as per Krishna's desire to help him move from one place to the other. So the edges of the petals, like we saw these pink petals, they have beautiful edges, like thin white lines you can see around these petals. These the edges are like pathways and they help in the movement of Radha and Krishna. And all the residents of Vrindavan, like this, the entire dham, which is maintained by the Sandini potency of Krishna, And we also discussed about how Balram actually facilitates these pastimes and how he maintains the entire spiritual world. So by the will of Krishna, by his Sandini potency, the entire Goloka Vrindavan is maintained, and Krishna is the lord of Goloka Vrindavan, and he moves freely inside Goloka Vrindavan, which is shaped like a lotus. So this is what we have seen so far in verses till 4. 1 to 4, this is the content we have seen. Now today we will cover the next two verses, which is verses 5 to 6. So I'll do the prayers and then we can start reading the verses. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Miena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krapa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krapa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminitinamne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarine Jay Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we will go into verse number 5 now. Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verse number 5. This is a very long verse. I'll read the verse and then we can do word to word and then we'll go to translation. Chatur ashram tat parita shweta deepakhyam atputam Chatur asram chatur murtes chatur dama chatushkritam Chatur bihi purushartais cha chatur bir hetu bir vratam Shulai dashay bir anadham urdvavado drik vidikshva api Ashtabir nidhi bhir jushtam Ashtabhi siddhi bistata Manu rupaischa dashabhir Drikpalai parito vratam Shamair gauraischa raktaischa Shuklascha prasad darshabhai Shobitam shakti bistabhir Adputabhi samantata Chatu ashram Asram, quadrangular place, tat, that Gokula, parita, surrounding Shvetadvipa, the white island, akhyam, named Adbutam, mysterious, chatu asram, quadrangular, chatur murte, of the four primary expansions who are Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, chatu dhama, consisting of four abodes, chatu kritam, divided into four parts, chatur bihi, by the four, Purusha Arthai, human requirements, cha and chaturbihi by the four, hetubihi, causes or basis of achievements, vritam, enveloped, shulaihi, with tridents, dashabihi, ten, anadham, fixed, urdhva adha, upwards and downwards, the zenith and nadir, drik, in, the directions, north, south, east and west, vidishu, and the intermediate directions, northeast, southeast, southwest, and northwest. Api, also, ashtabihi, with eight. Nidhibi, jewels. Jushtam, endowed. Ashtabihi, with eight. Siddhibihi, mystic perfections. Anima, lagima, prapti, prakamya, mahima, ishitva, vasishitva, kama vashayita. Tata, also, manurupa, in the form of mantras, cha, and dashabihi, by ten, drikpala, protectors of the directions, parita, all around, vritam, surrounded, shyamaha, blue, gauraha, yellow, cha, and raktair, red, cha, and shuklai, white, cha, also, prasada rishabhai, Prasada Rishabhai, with the topmost associates, Shobitam, shining, Shaktibi, with potencies, Parsada Rishabhai, Parsada means associates, Parsaha Rishabhai, with topmost associates, Shobitam, shining, Shaktibi, with potencies, Tabihi, those, Atputabihi, extraordinary, samantata on all sides. So this is the word-to-word meaning. The idea of reading word-to-word meaning is to help us somehow get some words in Sanskrit. I mean, understand at least a few basic words in Sanskrit. It will be helpful, you know, as we read more and more of any scripture, to have an idea of some words in Sanskrit is always useful. So when we read word-to-word meaning, that kind of helps us get an idea as to what the verse is going to say before we read the translation. Okay, translation. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Shweta Dvipa surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Shweta Dvipa is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements such as piety, wealth, passion and liberation, as also by the four Vedas, which are Rig, Sama, Yajur and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed on the 10 directions, including the zenith and nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda and Neela. There are 10 protectors, Dikpalakas, of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red and white and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Vimala, etc. shine in all directions or shine in all sides. Now here, we are at a point where we finish discussing the inner world of the lotus. So our focus now is purely Goloka Vrindavan. So far we have seen what is the inner world of the Goloka Vrindavan, you know, the lotus, the pink lotus of the picture that I have sent. We have seen that the inner world has Radha Krishna. We discussed that in detail. Then next we went on to the petals. So we discussed the different abodes of the gopis and the manjaris and Nanda Maharaj like that. So we went through the abodes and we went through the petals. And in all these petals, different pastimes of Radha Krishna are happening. Okay. Now, beyond these petals, if you look at the picture of the Goloka Vrindavan, you can see that there is a white space, okay? Come out of the petals of the lotus. If you see outside the petals of the lotus, the whole Goloka Vrindavan abode is contained in a rectangular section, okay? You can see a rectangular section that forms the ends of the yantra, that forms the edges, and there is a space between the petals and the rectangular section, which is white in color, okay? Which is white in color, and it is divided into four parts. You can see that this white color place is divided into four parts. And in the picture, if you focus and see, you can see that it is written as Shweta Dvipa. In white color itself, it's written Shweta Dvipa. You have to see on the top left-hand side, if you see, of that white section of Goloka Vrindavan picture that I've sent, you can see it is written Shweta Dvipa. So now our focus is this area. We have come outside the petals. Now we are going to concentrate on this white area, not just the white area, but also the rectangular outer covering. Okay, you see a rectangular outer covering. It is written Mathura, Jagannath Puri, Dwaraka, and then in four directions you have Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Sankarsana. Then you will see the four Vedas. All that. So we are going to discuss what is there beyond these petals. So that is what this verse is going to cover. So it's going to cover some important aspects that is there beyond the petals of Goloka Vrindavan. So mainly the outskirts of Goloka Vrindavan. We saw what is there inside the city. Now we are going to come to the outskirts. Now the outskirts is supposed to be very, very important. In fact, we will see as we move on why this outskirts is so important. Okay. So in the corners of the Goloka Yantra or the Goloka picture that I have sent, you can see in the top there is Pradyumna. I think the entire class you have to continuously focus on the picture, otherwise it's very difficult to understand anything. So please try to, or at least remember the picture in your mind if you're not able to see the picture. Okay, so in the corners of the Goloka Yantra, on the top you can see the abode of Pradyumna. You can see the picture of Pradyumna, the figure of Pradyumna. Then you will see Vasudeva, Aniruddha. You can see on the left Shankarshana. Okay, so you will see Pradyumna as you go in a circle. You will see Pradyumna, Vasudeva, Aniruddha and then Shankarshana. Okay, they are found around a box that is in a quadrangle. Okay, the shape is in the form of a quadrangle and you can see them in that edges of the box. Now, these abodes, they all have their abodes there. That is, these four deities, they have their abodes there. Okay, this is the yantric depiction of Shweta Dweep. As I mentioned, Shweta Dweep is the external white area. The outer area of those petals is called a Shweta Dweep. It is marked in white color. It is also written as Shweta Dweep in white. Okay, so outside the petals, inside the quadrangle, including the square section, these colored squares, you see orange color, purple color, blue color, like that, you see colored squares, right? That region, plus the white area, the entire place is actually called a Shweta Dweep. It is just not that white section. The entire region is called a Shweta Dweep. Okay, and the Shweta Dweep is actually very, very mysterious. Okay, why? That is explained in this verse because we have Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. You can see it's mentioned. Dharma Artha Kama Moksha is mentioned. If you focus on this edges, you can see Dharma Artha Kama Moksha mentioned. You can also see the four Vedas. Rig Yajur Sama Atharva Vedas. So you can see these. Now the question arises, what are these doing here? Because we all look at the Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha as something mundane. We don't expect it to be in the spiritual world, nor do we expect the four Vedas to take personified forms or to be sitting in the spiritual world. Okay? So we are going to discuss more in detail about these. Now, Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, we all know, they expand from Balaram. This forms the first Chaturvyuha. Remember, we always, when we talk about how Krishna expands into different incarnations, we first say that Krishna expands as Balaram, from Balaram, the first Chaturvyuha, then we have Narayan, then we have the second Chaturvyuha, then after the second Chaturvyuha, the most potent Shankarsana. From Shankarsana of the second Chaturvyuha, we get the three Vishnus, and from the three Vishnus of the Karanodakshayi Vishnu, the universes come out. Then we have Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Shirodakshayi Vishnu. We have gone through this a million times. Now, where is the source of all this? You know, how do we where is the proof? Or which point in Shastra is this mentioned? So it is mentioned here. So here it says, Vasudeva Aniruddha Pradyumna. We are talking about the first Chaturvyuha of Goloka Vrindavan. So it says, Vasudeva, Shankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they all expand from Balram. And this Shweta Dweepa area is where they are residing. Okay? Not only do these forms of Krishna, which is Vasudeva, Aniruddha, all of them reside there, but also there is also Mathura, Dwaraka, Jagannathpuri. These three dhams are also present in this area, which is represented as the square, the outer covering square. And the Krishna who resides in these places, which is Jagannathpuri, Dwaraka, not Jagannathpuri specifically, but Dwaraka and Mathura specifically, is Vasudeva Krishna. It is not the Vrindavan Krishna. But Jagannathpuri Krishna is very different. He's in the mood of separation. He's a unique Krishna. Okay, he's in the mode of separation. But these three dhams, they do not have the original 200 form of Krishna. The original 200 form of Krishna is actually inside those petals, the Goloka Vrindavan area. So this we should be very clear. Actually, these forms of Krishna are an expansion of the original form that is present inside the petals. So these realms are actually there in the outskirts of the central Vrindavan dham. Okay. Now, talking about Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So, these four, they exist in Shweta Dweep in their ultimate pure forms. How is that? How do we understand that? See, Dharma means religiosity that is performed based on our occupational duties as set by the Vedic injunctions. Okay, that is our definition of following Dharma in this material world. Now, in Shweta Dweep or the Supreme Abode, we see that this Dharma is manifested in the highest level by the inhabitants of Goloka. So how do they manifest the highest Dharma? By worshipping Krishna, loving Krishna, protecting cows. Like that, they are performing the topmost Dharma and they're protecting Dharma. So Dharma actually comes from Goloka Vrindavan. It's not like Dharma originated in the material world. This Dharma that we see in the material world actually originated from Goloka Vrindavan. Okay? In Goloka Vrindavan, it is in the purest form, and in the material world, it is in a different contaminated, perverted reflection. Okay? Similarly, Artha. Artha means what? Making money, right? Making progress, making material progress. Now, in Goloka Vrindavan, we say it is in the purest form. How is it in the purest form? It is seen in the form of Nanda Maharaja's wealth, the cows used for Krishna, the jewels and the chintamanis and the kalpavrikshas that adorn Goloka Vrindavan. All this is extremely wealthy. So the purest form of wealth or artha is actually there in Goloka Vrindavan in these forms. And everyone there, they use these wealth for Krishna's pleasure, purely for Krishna's pleasure. Now, kama. Kama means utilizing our senses and facilities for our enjoyment. Okay, that is kama of this material world. In this material world, we often say there is no pure love. Everything is lust because it is more about me, my enjoyment. It's more. There is some, the percentage may differ, but at least without 1% thinking about ourselves, there is no sense gratification in this world. So that is this world, okay, everything is lust. But the original form of kama in its purest form is the love that is there for Krishna by the residents of Vrindavan, and the topmost of that love is exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan because they do not have lust but they have pure love because they are always worried about the enjoyment of Krishna rather than what they enjoy. Okay, their senses are purified. Actually, they have the most purified senses. So there is no question of lust in the spiritual world. Now, moksha. Moksha. Automatically, there is moksha in Goloka Vrindavan because it is the topmost liberation point, and everybody and everything there is liberated. So the purest form of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha is there in Goloka Vrindavan, and we see perverted reflections of those in this material world. Okay, that is what is these four things adorning Goloka Vrindavan. Now the next is Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharva, the four Vedas. Okay, now these four Vedas, they are also coming from the spiritual world. Okay, they are also coming from there. They are. It's not like it's only meant for the material world. This Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharva Vedas, these personalities in their original form are always singing the glories of Krishna in the purest form, and in the spiritual world, there is no question of karmakanda sections. Like, you know, we talk about this different Vedas, especially we say more than 97 or something percent of the Vedas is actually karmakandya. That means it's about giving us material benefit, and everybody uses the Vedas for material benefit, karmakanda activities. A very small percentage of it talks about the impersonal Brahman, and a very, very, very small percentage of the Vedas, they talk about the personal form of the Lord. So we have heard this over and over. But in the spiritual world, it is in the purest form, and all these four Vedas are always singing the glories of Krishna. There is no question of karmakanda sections. Even the gopis, when they worship Katyayani in the Vrindavan Gokul, in this Bauma Vrindavan, even that also, they do it for purely attaining Krishna. It is not for any other material motives. Even that, it sounds somewhat like karmakanda, but actually it's not karmakanda because it is in the service of Krishna. They want Krishna as their husbands, purely for the sake of Krishna. So even that you cannot say is karmakanda. Everything is very pure in the spiritual world. Similarly, the Rig, Yajur and Sama Vedas are always glorifying the Lord in the Dham. Whether it is Gokul or Goloka, everywhere these four Vedas are glorifying the Lord. Hence, in their purest original forms, they are present in the spiritual world. Okay. Now, the next thing that we see in this verse, first we saw about how it's quadrangular. Then we specifically saw this white section is divided into four parts. It's called a Shvetadvipa. Then we saw the outer rectangular sections. And what we find in the outer rectangular section? You find the four Chaturvyuha, that Aniruddha, Brahma, Pradyumna, Shankarshana, all of them. Then you also find the four Vedas. And you also find the four Purusharthas, that is Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So we have seen till now so much. Okay. Now next, the next thing that we find around is the tridents. Now if you focus on this picture, don't look at the rectangular section. Look a little away from the rectangular section, you will see Trishuls, okay, emanating out in a few distance from the rectangular section. You will see on top, you will see on northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest and south. You will see Trishuls coming out. That's why I sent the picture of Vaikuntha also, because you can see the Trishuls coming out from the entire spiritual world. If you have the poster in your house, it's easier to see. I know it's difficult to see in the picture, but you can see the Trishuls like emanating in at least 8 directions is shown in the picture. So there is a Trishul on top of Goloka Vrindavan, on the left of Goloka Vrindavan, not left actually, yeah, on top, on top left, top right, and then you will see somewhat between Goloka and Vaikuntha, there are 2 Trishuls pointing outwards. Then you will see a Trishul down facing the material world, and then you will see Trishuls facing, in different directions. Basically, in 8 directions, you will see these Trishuls. Trishul is like the weapon that Lord Shiva has. That is the Trishul. So you will see these weapons pointing away from the spiritual realm. It involves the entire spiritual realm, not just Goloka, but it actually indicates the entire spiritual realm. So these Trishuls or tridents are in 10 different directions. Now, if you look at the Goloka chart, you will see these Trishuls, only 8 Trishuls if you count. So where did the other 2 go? That is the top and the bottom. That means in the Z axis, okay, the Z axis or the Z axis, if you see up and down, perpendicular to the plane, you will see the other 2 tridents, okay, perpendicular to the plane in which you're seeing the map. You will see the tridents. So that cannot be shown because this is only a 2D picture. We can't show 3 dimension. So that's the reason the remaining 2 Trishuls are not shown. Okay. So totally there are 10 tridents. And what are these tridents doing there? They are actually guarding Goloka Vrindavan and Vaikuntha both. They are in fact guarding the entire spiritual world from self-conceited people who try to reach Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha, generally Vaikuntha, through yoga and jnana. Okay, these sometimes people Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana. Sometimes when a person is trying to do mystic yoga or trying to reach this the spiritual world beyond the Brahma Jyoti through Jnana, then they are pierced by these tridents, and these tridents baffle them from their attempts to enter. Okay, so that is the job of these tridents. They are just piercing these guys and keeping them away from the spiritual world. Unless you develop devotion, there is no question of entering the spiritual world. So this is accomplished by these tridents. Okay. So, and the tridents, they actually represent, we all know, they represent the 3 modes of material nature, which is, sattva, raja and tamo. These 3 gunas, it represents these 3 tridents, these 3 points in the tridents. And also it represents time, which is present, past and future. So that is a symbolic representation of the trident, which is guarding the spiritual world. So some people, when they try to force their way to Goloka, they are checked and they fall down. They go back to Brahma Jyoti. So this is preventing people from entering the spiritual realm by dint of their yogic practice or by dint of jnana. By both, they cannot enter the spiritual world. So that's what these tridents are doing. Okay, next. Now we have to see who are the people who go to Vaikuntha. Okay. Now when devotion is alloyed with majestic ideas, they become fascinated by Vaikuntha and they get somewhat, they are attracted to the different mystical perfections in their pure state, of course not in the contaminated state as it is seen in the material world. They somehow like majesty and opulence of Vaikuntha. Okay, so basically their devotion is influenced by a concept of Aishwarya or attraction to the majestic feature of Narayana. In such a case, these people, they go to Vaikuntha. They are not yet in Goloka, but they attain Vaikuntha. They have love and devotion for Lord Narayana, which is very nice. They reach the Vaikuntha Dham. And the bhakti that they have is alloyed with majestic ideas. That is, you are the Supreme Lord. They are looking at him as a master in awe and reverence. Okay, in such a mood, when one worships the Lord, he attains Vaikuntha or the abode of Narayana, which is represented by a blue lotus in the picture. Okay, that's a very nice place. It is the spiritual world, no harm. Okay, now, along with the, that's where they reach. Okay, but even to reach Goloka Vrindavan, in like one may reach up to there, but to reach Goloka Vrindavan, there should be something more. Okay, that we will discuss next. But before that, I also wanted to talk about, along with the tridents, there are also jewels and mantras guarding the spiritual realms. So you see around the near the Trishuls, you will also see jewels, different kinds of jewels that are there. Like we just read the names of the jewels in the translation. Let me read the names again. So the names are the eight jewels: Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda, Neela. All these are jewels. These jewels, you know, along with these Trishuls, you will see jewels. They are all dazzling and they are preventing people from entering. You know, they are like, it's like deviating the people from entering the spiritual world. Similarly, even to attain Goloka Vrindavan, I mean, you cannot really enter Goloka Vrindavan directly from Vaikuntha unless you have given up this idea of majesty. Even for that, you will see jewels near Goloka Vrindavan. Actually, different kinds of jewels. So these are distracting those people. You cannot enter here unless you follow in the footsteps of the gopis like that. So you have jewels, there's a Trishul, and there's one more thing, which is a mantra. Okay? So there is also a mantra there, which prevents, which is guarding the spiritual realm and preventing unqualified people from entering. Okay, three things are guarding. One is the Trishul I mentioned. The other thing is the mantra. You can see the mantra near the jewel if you see the chart. There's a mantra for each direction that guards. And also there is a particular jewel that keeps shining. And it kind of, prevents people from just, you know, casually entering the place. Okay. Now, the next part of the translation, it talks about the blue, yellow, red, white associates. It says, right, the translation says there are associates in the color of blue, red. The associates of the hues of blue, red, yellow, white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names Vimala, etc., shine on all sides. Now, what is the meaning of this? That we will look into next. Now, this is a very interesting and intriguing portion of today's discussion about the blue, red, yellow, white associates. Now, there are two ways of understanding this. One way of understanding this is that they are different associates of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan of different colors. That is one simple way of understanding it. Okay, but that is not all. Okay, it just doesn't end there. It actually it has a deeper meaning. So what it means is that the four colors or the four Yuga avatars who are indicated by four colors are residing in Shweta Dweep in their original forms. So I don't know if everyone remembers, we talk about the different Yuga avatars bearing different colors. Like for example, the Yuga avatar in the age of Satya Yuga is white in color. There are some verses in Bhagavatam that talk about this. Like Garga Rishi, he tells when Krishna is born, there is a verse that he says that in different yugas, your child has appeared in different colors. Previously, he has appeared in the color of red, yellow, white, and now he's appeared in a blackish blue form. So that there is a verse like that Garga Muni says while naming the child Krishna. So like that, there are a couple of verses in Bhagavatam that talks about the Yuga avataras. Even in the 11th canto, there are verses that talk about the Yuga avataras and how in the current Kali Yuga, the Yuga avatara is yellow in color and he's identified as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the verse Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangasta Parsadam, the 11th canto, there is a verse that indicates the arrival of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Srimad Bhagavatam, talking of him as the Yuga avatara. So like that, there are different references for the different Yuga avataras. In different yugas, Lord Krishna appears in different colors. So in the Satya Yuga, he appears in white. Then in the Treta Yuga, he appears as red. Then in the Dwapara Yuga, he appears in a bluish-black color. Okay, here it is mentioned as blue Neela. In some places, it is just mentioned as black Krishna. Okay, and in the Kali Yuga, mostly he appears somewhat in a blackish color, but under some special circumstances, he also appears in a yellow color. So this is mentioned in Shastra. So actually, these Yuga avataras who descend every Yuga to establish the religious principle of that particular Yuga. Why do the Yuga avataras come? They come to establish the religious principle Yuga. Like, for example, in the age of Kali, the chanting of the holy names is the religious principle. So we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who comes in the age of Kali to establish that particular religious principle. So each Yuga has a Yuga avatara, and they come during that time to establish that religious principle. Okay, so all these four Yuga avataras are residing in this region of Shweta Dweep, this white region that we just discussed, which is divided into four sections, which is inside the quadrangular region, which is outside the beautiful lotus petals. That region, they reside in their original forms. Usually, all incarnations are in Vishnu forms, like in Vaikuntha forms, four-handed forms. But these prototype Yuga avataras, they exist inside Shweta Dweep. And for all you know, of course, everyone must have guessed so, that is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resides in the spiritual world. Okay. Now, let's see the significant part where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resides inside Shweta Dweep. Okay. I wanted to read a little bit from the purport of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, because that gives an idea of this Shweta Dweep in the spiritual world. So there are some parts which has to be read directly from the book, otherwise it won't be good, so I'll just read that part. It is only the divine selves of Godhead, the propounders of the divine dispensations of the different ages, who are always forward there to favor the approaching devotees who seek entry into the realm of Gokul through the channel of pure devotional service, devotional love, or Goloka through the channel of pure devotional love. These divine forms of Godhead are surrounded there with the attendants of their respective natures. Shweta Dweep and Goloka is their place of abode. Since Srila Thakur Vrindavan, the manifest Vyasa of Chaitanya Leela, has described the village of Navadvipa as bearing the name as Shweta Dweep, in this Shweta Dweep, the concluding portions of the pastimes of Gokul exist eternally as the pastimes of Navadvipa. So nice. Actually, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says is, then another name for Navadvip is actually Shweta Dweep, and it is not by accident. It is specifically mentioned as Shweta Dweep because this Navadvip is non-different from the Shweta Dweep in the spiritual world, which is present inside the Goloka Vrindavan section. Okay, that is one point. And the other point is that Shweta Dweep is the area of the concluding portions of the pastimes of Gokul. That means, when Krishna came as Lord Krishna, he performed such beautiful pastimes. He had such beautiful experiences. He gave so much pleasure to all his devotees. Everybody was so satisfied. So many people had different rasas and different moods, like Vatsalya, Sakya, like that, different relationships, Madhurya. So many different relationships, Dasya, like that. But Krishna actually felt that his pastimes were not complete unless he came in the mood of a devotee to relish his own pastimes, in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this coming in the mood of Srimati Radharani, understanding what it is that Radharani feels, or what it is to be a devotee and relish Krishna, that experience he had only when he came back as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are actually the concluding pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. Okay? So the region of Shweta Dweepa is the concluding portions of the pastimes of Gokul that exist eternally as the pastimes of Navadvipa. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written here. So that is very beautifully he has expressed. So, of course, one may think, the Shweta Dweep is a very less place of less importance in this region of Goloka Vrindavan. But Shweta Dweep, we should understand, is no less than the Lord's Supreme Abode. It also, makes the inner part complete, because without Shweta Dweep, Goloka is not complete. You just cannot have petals without the quadrangular area, right? Without this white quadrangular area, the yantra is not complete. You just cannot have petals and call it a yantra or call it an abode. So without Shweta Dweep, the entire Goloka Vrindavan is not complete. So in the Shweta Dweep, the concluding portions of the pastimes of Gokul exist eternally as the pastimes of Navadvip. Hence, this region of Navadvip, Vraja, and the realm of Gokula, Goloka, are one and the same indivisible entity. The difference only lies in the manifestations of infinite variety of sentiments corresponding to the diverse nature of their devotional love. So what's the meaning of this? Is that actually Shvetadvipa is no less than the petals, Goloka Vrindavan, and Shvetadvipa and Goloka Vrindavan, or the pink petals and the white area together, they form the entire abode. The only difference is in the mood of or the sentiment. That is, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna has particular sentiments with his devotees. It is mostly in the mood of Madhurya, that is sweetness. Krishna's pastimes are always manifest in the mood of sweetness. Everything is so sweet about him. Not only the conjugal relationships, even the other relationships like fraternity or servitude or parental affection, everything is very sweet about Krishna. But when it comes to this Shvetadvip, the pastimes are in the mood of audharya, or it is in the mood of giving mercy. So that is the only difference. It's not that there is no audharya in Krishna's pastimes. It is there. But sweetness is in a higher grade, or it is more heavily manifested. Whereas in Shvetadvip, sweetness is also there. But audharya, or giving mercy, that is more heavily manifested. That is all the difference between the pastimes in Shvetadvip and in Goloka Vrindavan. So that is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continues to say. So there are different moods. It's not that one is greater than the other. It is just that one is manifest more in one place and the other is manifest less in the other place. You know, it's like that. So now talking about the spiritual world, who can make it, who cannot make it? So it is explained that people who are too attached to family, hanking for material pleasure, too much material pleasure, people who are very, very staunch brahmacharis, that means, doesn't mean that brahmacharis don't attain spiritual world. It means if you're too staunch about anything, like too attached to your austerities, you should have austerities. But if you get too attached to your austerities, thinking this is what everything is, you become proud. Then you can never enter the spiritual realm. You should have all good qualities, but you should not get too attached to, you know, strict austerities. Oh, I'm a great brahmachari. Who can conquer me? Like that. If you start thinking like that, you cannot enter the spiritual realm. So it says people who are too attached to their austerities, people who are very staunch brahmacharis, such people, they do get progress. They go through different planetary systems like Mahajana, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, like that, they are higher realms. See, if you see Mahajana, Tapa, Satya, you will see very great personalities, people who have attained mystic perfections, people who are great sages, they are all there. But have they attained the spiritual world? No. Because you should not get too attached to these things. If you get too attached to that, anything other than being attached to loving devotional service to Krishna is actually not good for us. So when we get too attached to certain rules and austerities and all that, then there is a chance that we develop pride through them. Hence these people, they make progress. They attain Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. They are all Paramahamsa sannyasis. Being too attached to sannyas is also not good. They are all great sannyasis, but they do not, unfortunately, attain the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, or they do not attain Goloka because of this. And who else doesn't attain spiritual world? Demons who are killed by Hari, they all go to Brahmajyoti. They don't make it. Okay, most of the demons, 90% of the demons, they do not attain the spiritual world directly. Mostly, they attain the Brahmajyoti. They do not gain entrance into the spiritual realm of Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. So these people, they unfortunately do not attain the spiritual realm. Now, there are five types of devotees who make it up to the Vaikuntha realm. Okay, who are these five types of devotees? These are the devotee actuated by knowledge, Jnana Bhakta. Okay, note here, it's just not Jnani, it is Jnana Bhakta. Number one, okay, these are the five types of people who go to Vaikuntha, the realm of Narayana. Okay, who are the five type of people? One is the devotee actuated by knowledge, Jnana Bhakta. The devotee actuated by pure devotional aptitude, Shuddha Bhakta. Okay, here there is no Jnana. With the Shuddha Bhakti, there is no Jnana. The third one is devotee imbued with loving devotion, Prema Bhakti. And the fourth one is the devotee actuated by pure love, Prema Parabhakta. And the fifth one is the devotee impelled by overwhelming love, Prema Tura Bhakta. Okay, so all these five kinds of devotees, They serve the majesty of Godhead and they attain Vaikuntha in the transcendental realm of Sri Narayana, which is indicated by the blue lotus. You can see the picture of the blue lotus. That is the realm of Narayana with his associates. All these five beautiful devotees, they attain the realm of Narayana. But they do not attain Goloka Vrindavan. They are attaining the realm of Narayana. Now, examples of these five categories. Let's see examples from Shastra. Jnana Bhaktas, first category is Jnana Bhakta. That means his bhakti is somewhat mixed with knowledge. He is not a pure jnani, but somewhat he has this knowledge, like there is some level of understanding that if I go through this process of devotional service, that means I am going to attain a particular place. So there is some jnana, there is a force of jnana in his devotional service. And in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, he discusses these five types of people and he gives examples from Shastra. So for the first one, Jnana Bhakta, example is Bharat Maharaj. He actually had knowledge of who Krishna is. And he performed austerities accordingly. So he is classified as a Jnana Bhakta. Still he attained Vaikuntha. Okay, classification one. Now the next is a Shuddha Bhakta. A Shuddha Bhakta is a devotee who follows the nine processes of devotional service. Very nice. We know Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Pada Sevanam, Atmanivedanam. All these are the nine processes of devotional service. So when one follows the nine processes of devotional service perfectly, he is called as a Shuddha Bhakta. An example of a person who perfected all nine is Ambarish Maharaj from Srimad Bhagavatam. Ambarish Maharaj, he attained Vaikuntha. So his classification 2. Okay, example. Now the third one, such a person is also called as a Sadhaka because he is doing Sadhana Bhakti, right? Like nine processes he is following. Now the third kind of devotee is a Prema Bhakta. Prema Bhakta is one who is imbued by pure loving service. And classic example of that is Hanuman. Okay, pure service means nobody can beat Hanuman. So he attained the loving service of Lord Ramachandra in the spiritual world. Okay, the fourth classification is Prema Para, actuated by pure love. So an example for this is the Pandavas, and they attained the spiritual realm in Vaikuntha, and this realm is known as Hastinapura. There is actually a Hastinapura in Vaikuntha. So they attained that place. Okay, they are called as Prema Para, or actuated by pure love. And the fifth category is Prema Tura. They have overwhelming love for Krishna. And an example of that is Uddhava. Okay? Or mainly the Yadavas. Okay? There is actually, even in the Vaikuntha realm, we are not specifically talking of Goloka, but even in the Vaikuntha realm, there is a residence of Krishna. And here, Krishna is seen with majesty. Because the Yadavas, they did see Krishna as a king, actually. It's not the kind of love that the gopis or the, you know, Vrajavasis had. It's a very different kind of a love. It is a love for Krishna. It is Premathura Bhakti. That is overwhelming love for Krishna. Very pure. But still there is a sense of majesty. So they attain this place in Vaikuntha that has the residence of Krishna. Okay. Even in Vaikuntha there is a residence for Krishna actually. Okay. So these are about the people who attain the Vaikuntha realm. Okay, next, we have to see who attains this particular Goloka Vrindavan that we have been discussing from verse 1 of Brahma Samhita. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains, the devotees who are imbued with all love and who walk in the footsteps of the spiritual maids of Vraja alone attain the realm of Goloka. So, the different locations of the devotees in Goloka are according to the respective differences in the nature of their rasa or mellow quality, are settled by the inconceivable power of Krishna. The pure devotees following the devotees of Vraja and those following pure devotees of Navadvipa are located in the realm of Krishna and Gaura respectively. The identical devotees of Vraja and Navadvipa simultaneously attain to the pleasures of service in the realm of Krishna and Gaura. Sri Jiva Goswami writes in his book Gopalachampu that the supreme transcendental realm is called Goloka, being the abode of Go, transcendental cows, and Gopa, transcendental cowherds. This is the seat of the rasa pastimes of the absolute Sri Krishna. So the ones who follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis, taking them as an example, following pure bhakti in the footsteps, prema bhakti in the footsteps of Vrajavasis, they attain Goloka Vrindavan, and they are situated in different rasas, which include Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, all of these, for, like especially Madhura Rasa, it is the innermost petals are the gopis of Vrindavan. So only if one follows in the footsteps of gopis of Vrindavan, they get settled into Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan and they attain this place. So the sense of majesty should be completely absent from their mind. That's when you actually attain Goloka Vrindavan. And you can be situated in any rasa. And another beauty of Goloka Vrindavan is that nothing is, no rasa is completely pure, you know, in the sense, you cannot say there is pure, see even in Goloka Vrindavan there is Dasya Rasa. Okay, it's not that Goloka Vrindavan means only Madhurya Rasa, not like that. There is Dasya, there is Sakya, all this is there. But always there is a mixture. Like for example, let's talk about Shantarasa. I'll just give one. There's Shantarasa also in Goloka Vrindavan, like the cows. The cows in Goloka Vrindavan, they have Shantarasa with Krishna. Okay, but that Shantarasa is mixed with Vatsalya because the cow gives milk to Krishna. So there is a sense that Krishna is my baby, you know. So there's always a mixture. Like even the what else can I give, the let's take for example Sakya Rasa, these gopas, these little cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna, they are having fun with Krishna. Okay, they are like you know, equal. They are jumping on Krishna, they are throwing mud into his face, and they are doing all kinds of things. But at the same time, there is some sense of servitude, or Krishna, he's feeling tired, so I'll go press his legs, like that. So there's always a mixture in Goloka Vrindavan. It is not pure Dasya. Even the servants in Krishna's house, it's not pure Dasya Rasa. They also have some kind of Vatsalya Rasa mixed in them. They are concerned for Krishna. They are worried about his maintenance, like that. So the devotional is very spontaneous in Goloka Vrindavan. It's usually a lot of mixture. And there is no sense of majesty. So such people, they attain this particular realm of Goloka Vrindavan. So that is what is explained in these verses. Now about Navadvipa, Shvetadvipa or Navadvipa, however you want to call it. So we spoke about Goloka Vrindavan. We have to talk a little more about this Shvetadvipa portion of Goloka Vrindavan. So again, I'll continue to read from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The gist of the whole matter is that Goloka as Shvetadvipa is eternally manifest because the pleasures of enjoyment of the rasa could not be had in its eternity in the pastimes of Krishna in Vraja. He accepts the emotion and effulgence of his predominated moiti. Moiti means the other half, Sri Radhika, and he makes an eternal pastime for the enjoyment of Krishna rasa there. So basically Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying that Krishna appears as Gaurachandra just to understand the pastimes of Srimati Radharani or the mood of Srimati Radharani. To understand the emotion of Radha, he takes up the effulgence of Sri Radhika and he descends as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it says, Sri Krishna Chandra, coveting to taste the following pleasures, to realize the nature of the greatness of the love of Sri Radha, the nature of the wonderful sweetness of his love of which Radhika has got the taste, the nature of the exquisite joy that she acquires, that accrues to Sri Radha by her realization of the sweetness of his love, he took his birth like the moon in the ocean of the womb of Sri Sachi Devi. The esoteric desire of Sri Jiva Goswami is herein made manifest. In the Veda, it is also said, let me tell you the mystery. In Navadvip, the identical realm of Goloka, on the bank of the Ganges, Gaurachandra, who is Govinda, the entity of pure cognition, who has two hands, who is the soul of all souls, who has the supreme great personality as the great meditative sannyasin and who is beyond the threefold mundane attributes, makes the process of pure unalloyed devotion manifest in the mundane world. He is the sole Godhead. He is the source of all forms, the supreme soul, and his Godhead manifesting himself in yellow, red, blue and white colors. So as the verse said, this is the residence of all the Yuga Avataras. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting himself there. He is a direct entity of pure cognition, full of the spiritual potency. He is the figure of the devotee. He is the bestower of devotion and the cognizable by, he is cognizable by devotion alone. The self-same Gaurachandra, who is no other than Krishna himself, in order to taste the rasa of the pastimes of Radha Krishna and Goloka, is manifest in the eternal realm of Navadvipa, which is identical with Goloka Vrindavan. So this is a beautiful note by Jiva Goswami, which is referred here. He talks about the Shweta Dvipa that is there in the spiritual world and how it is the abode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only that, it is also the abode of the other Yuga avatars. And specifically, we are concerned with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's a lot of description about Lord Chaitanya present in Goloka Vrindavan. So that was a description given in this verse. So the next verse, we'll get into text number 6. It's a short verse. We'll finish really fast. Okay. It's a very long purport, so I had to read some parts of the purport. But anyhow, we are done with verse 5.5. Now we'll go to 5.6. Evam jyotirmayo deva sadananda paratpara atmaramasya tasyasti prakrityana samagama. Evam tas jyoti mayi, transcendental, deva, the Lord, sadananda, the own self of eternal ecstasies, Paratpara, the superior of all superiors, Atmaramasya, engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm, Tasya, of him, Asti, there is, Prakritya, with the mundane potency, Na, not, Samagama, association, translation. The Lord of Gokula is the transcendental supreme Godhead, or this own the transcendental supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. So now this verse talks about his two energies, the internal energy of the Lord and the external energy of the Lord. So in text number 6, we have started introducing the mundane potency. That is, hereafter slowly the material world will come into picture. So far we discussed so much about the spiritual world. We discussed about certain regions of Vaikuntha. We discussed specifically a lot about Goloka Vrindavan, which is a very, very special planet, topmost planet in the spiritual world. Now slowly the energies of the Lord are being introduced in Brahma Samhita. This verse talks about both the internal and the external energy of the Lord. Now Krishna, he is single. And he is the sole spiritual potency. That is single in the sense he is two. I mean, of course, he is Radha and Krishna together. We are not talking about that. We are saying that he is the central figure. Okay. And he has his own spiritual potency. And he manifests his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan and Gokula by his potency. Okay. He is self-sufficient. Okay. But Krishna also has a mundane potency. So this mundane potency is a perverted reflection of his spiritual potency on the other side of the Viraja River. So the Viraja River actually separates the spiritual world and the material world. Krishna has two energies. One is the internal energy. The other one is the external energy. The internal energy, as we all know, is a manifestation of, or rather, Radharani is the manifestation of his internal energy. The pleasure-giving potency, his energy, his Shakti is Radharani. That is his internal energy. The external energy is a mundane energy that maintains the material world. And this perverted reflection or this mundane potency is on the other side of the Viraja River. Okay, this Viraja runs outside Brahma Jyoti. Okay, outside the Brahma Jyoti, beyond the Brahma Jyoti, going down towards the material world, we have the Viraja River. It forms the boundary between Vaikuntha on one side and the material world on the other side. Now, talking about the internal energy, she's also known as Yoga Maya, the internal energy. And what does she do? She helps with Krishna's pastimes and she adds a lot of excitement in Goloka Vrindavan. This is the role of Yoga Maya. See, again, internal energy means we can further classify it into Hladini Shakti and we say that is Radharani, all that understood. But now we are specifically talking about Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. Okay, two energies, internal and external. So what is the role of Yoga Maya? Yoga Maya is the one who helps Krishna and facilitates his pastimes, and she adds a lot of excitement in Goloka Vrindavan or even in Gokula. When Krishna comes down to Vrindavan, to the material Vrindavan, it's only with the help of Yoga Maya that all the pastimes of Krishna is aided, or she helps in the pastimes. And not only that, she has another role. She has to help the devotees also. It is only by the power of Yoga Maya that devotees actually make progress. So twofold duties she has. One is to facilitate the pastimes of Krishna. The second one is to help the devotees. So she has two roles. Now, an example of pastimes orchestrated by Yoga Maya. We all know that Yoga Maya, she is actually manifest in different forms in different dhams. Like for example, in Mathura, Yoga Maya is the younger sister of Krishna, who was born to Yashoda Devi, and we know the pastime of how she appeared in front of Kamsa and she told Kamsa, you know, she warned Kamsa. So that is Yoga Maya in Mathura. Now Yoga Maya in Vrindavan, where Krishna performed most of his pastimes, is Purnamasi, the old woman that you see in pictures, the old woman in white sari. She is actually the mother of Sandipani Muni, I think. The mother of Sandipani Muni or Garga Muni, I'm not sure. One of them, she is their mother. And she's also the grandmother of, what's that guy who keeps eating? That boy, the Gopa who keeps eating all the time. Madhumangal, yeah. She's the grandmother of Madhumangal. So she's Purnamasi and she's Yoga Maya in Vrindavan Dham. And in Dwaraka, Yoga Maya is Subhadra Devi. Subhadra Devi, another name for Subhadra Devi, Yoga Maya, she's got another name in Dwaraka. When she facilitates pastimes, she's known as Ekanamsa. When she facilitates the pastimes of Krishna, she's known as Ekanamsa. So like this, Yoga Maya is a very incredible personality. So like, you know, for example, there is a nice pastime where there are many pastimes actually what Yoga Maya does. She kind of arranges exciting for example, there is this funny thing that happens in Vrindavan and Yoga Maya facilitates that. Radha actually, Purnamasi comes out from a particular wedding ceremony. She's coming out and at that time she meets Krishna on the way and then she gives Krishna a laddu. Okay, and Krishna is like, so what's the festivity? Where are you coming from? And Purnamasi says, oh, I'm coming from a nice wedding. And Krishna asks, whose wedding was it? So Yoga Maya, the Purnamasi says, oh, you don't know, it was the wedding of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu got married to Srimati Radha. Abhimanyu got married to Radha Rani. And Krishna is like, what? He puts one bite of the laddu inside his mouth and he spits it out saying, no, I don't want this laddu. This is the worst laddu I've ever tasted in my life. Like that, I mean, basically Yoga Maya tries to create a lot of excitement. And she facilitates different pastimes, she making everything interesting for Radha Krishna. Actually, that's what she does in Vrindavan. Similarly, even in Dwaraka Leela also, she's very active. And I also mentioned in Lalita Madhava, actually, there are some very nice pastimes of how Yoga Maya arranges different pastimes in Dwaraka. In Lalita Madhava talks about that. So like that, everywhere Yoga Maya is busy arranging for the pastimes of Radha Krishna. So Yoga Maya is a very important character and a very amazing character. So that is about Yoga Maya. In the next verse onwards, we'll be seeing more about Mahamaya or about the energy of Krishna that maintains this material world. What is her duty? What she does? All that we will be seeing in the next few verses. I said she has two duties. One is to facilitate and make Krishna's pastimes exciting. The second thing is she has to also help her devotees. How do we know that? We know that from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 13. Mahatmanastu mam partha devam prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso nyatva bhutatam avyayam. Translation. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. That means we are all under the control of Yoga Maya once we start making progress in Krishna consciousness. So she takes care of our devotional service. So these are the two roles of Yoga Maya. From the next verse, we will continue to know more about the material world. So I'd like to stop here. I think it's open for discussion. If anyone has any questions or corrections, please let me know. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mother. Thank you for a wonderful class. Very nice to hear everything about Vrindavan and how Krishna is different in the different dhams. So one quick question, Mataji. You said that Krishna in Madura, Dwarka, and Jagannath Puri is not Vrindavan Krishna, right? He is Vasudev Krishna.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So you said it's not the original 200 form also, right? In these three places.
In the sense, it's more like this, you know, like for example, when Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki, he showed his four-handed form. Usually, Vasudeva Krishna is always indicated by his four-handed form. The original Shyam Sundara Rupa is the two-handed form. But of course, we don't see always Krishna manifesting his forearms when he's walking around in Dwaraka or something. But that's how the Acharyas, you know, describe, because he's imbued with majesty. So they always call him the four-handed form. You know, Krishna itself, there are two aspects of him. One is the sweetness aspect, where he's a simple cowherd boy. And the other thing is when he's majestic, he's a king. You know, when he has these opulences, we often see him as a four-handed form. So that's how we understand that, Prabhu.
So basically, he will be two-handed form, but he will have the tattva or the principle that he will show is like that of Vishnu, right?
Yes, exactly. You're right, yeah. He has the mood of a 400 form lord, yeah.
Got it. So, and one more question is that about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you said Navadvip, right? So, in spiritual world, there is Navadvip planet. So, in that, the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also is just praising Krishna, Radha and Krishna, that's it? That's the same activity?
He's doing Sankirtan. Yeah, he's just doing Sankirtan with all his associates. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's continuous Sankirtan performance. That's what happens in Shvetadvip of the spiritual world. Exactly like what happens in Navadvip, yeah. All his associates, they all descend from the spiritual world and, you know, it's all the same. They have similar activities. Sankirtan movement is happening there also. They're chanting the holy names, all that. Yeah.
Mataji, one question is that Rupa Goswami, right? He's also Manjari in Vrindavan. So is Rupa Manjari or something, right? Is it Rupa Manjari?
Yeah, he's Rupa Manjari.
So in spiritual world, there is Rupa Goswami even in Navadvip planet, and also there is Rupa Manjari in Vrindavan. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the beauty of the spiritual world. A single person can participate in multiple pastimes in multiple forms. So.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Madhu. That's a wonderful class. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Mataji.
Yes, Pramataji.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Mataji. Mataji, that Vrindavan, everything is full of love, right? Why do they mention that Vedas in the sides?
Yeah, because the Vedas are also glorifying Krishna. They are all like continuously, you know, even when we go to the spiritual world, it's not that we are only going to sit and, you know, participate in some pastimes always. We can also be engaged, actually, they say that even when you go to the spiritual world, you continue to perform activities like preaching, and there'll be a person who's always talking about Krishna Katha like that. You know, so these things are continuously happening even in the spiritual world.
In the sense like that Vedas are coming from Krishna, so is that what it meant?
Yeah, Vedas are coming from Krishna. The original form of the Vedas are in the spiritual world. And also, what is the duty of the Vedas? Why should they be sitting there? Is because they're continuously singing the glories of Krishna. That is their duty there. That is their role in the spiritual world. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So you said like the people who are attaining that Vaikuntha and Goloka, right? So in that Vaikuntha, right, there is no rasas involved? Only
rasas is mostly Dasya rasa. Yeah, rasa is mostly Dasya rasa, because we are looking at the Lord as the master and I am his servant. Okay, that is the mood, Mataji. Even in Goloka Vrindavan, Dasya rasa is there, but it's always mixed with other sweet rasas. You know, when you see Narayana, you cannot go and put your hand on him and, you know, probably sit on a shoulder or something like that. There is a sense of majesty involved. He's the Lord and you're his servant. So that mood is predominant throughout Vaikuntha realm. But when you come to Goloka Vrindavan, the Gopas can, you know, they can sit on Krishna's shoulders, they can box him, they can do anything with him. So, I mean, that's fun for him. Okay, like he's having fun with his friends, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and similarly, Narayana, you in Vaikuntha Loka, you cannot say, okay, Krishna, I'm going to tie. Okay, Narayana, come here. You're doing a lot of mischief. I'll tie you to the mortar. You cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like that. But with Krishna, you can do anything.
Okay.
Because he's the king of all rasas. He enjoys everything. Okay.
You were explaining about that the people who are reaching that Vaikuntha Mataji.
Yeah.
What is the difference between that Prema Para and Prema Tura? Like, is that what both are same, but is that Prema Para is with respect?
Yeah, Prema Para is with Prema Turiya is also with respect, but it is pouring out with love. Like the like for example, the example is given of Uddhava. He had so much love. Actually, he had a lot of he looked like Krishna. He was so close to Krishna's appearance also. He had so much love for Krishna. So it's pouring out with that. He had a higher degree of love compared to the Pandavas according to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, but still, it is not like the following in the footsteps of the gopis. He desired to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. He in fact said, I wish I could become a grass where the gopis could come and stamp on me. I can never attain that kind of love for Krishna. He himself says in Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
His level of love is a degree somewhat lesser in the sense it is because he's serving Krishna in a more majestic way. So
mm-hmm.
It's difficult for us to understand these rasas. Yeah, but we can get an idea. That's all.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Haribol.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavatana Mataji. Maybe I should not repeat every time, Mataji. It's amazing class, Mataji. It's like taking intoxication, Mataji. Every week, right? It's increasing. The interest is like it's a intoxication, Mataji. I mean, we can't just, even when Ananya or somebody they make some noise, I can't tolerate that one. I lost my tolerance, Mataji, because of your class.
All glories. Rajas,
Mataji, before I ask my questions, Mataji, I just want to share something, Mataji. You were talking about the rasas, the mixed rasas, and just now you were addressing Revati Mataji's question, right? Gopis and gopas, right? They don't follow any standards, no protocol, nothing. They just go with Krishna, whatever they want. They jump on him and all those things. In that respect, I remember, Mataji, is this okay, Mataji, if I talk like a few minutes?
Of course. So much please talk, Prabhu. We are looking forward to hearing. Please tell, Prabhu.
Then my Guru Maharaj, he shared one time, probably we are all there in Atlanta, I think, at that time. He said, gopis, they never follow the standards. Like, because, you know, they have no knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So they treat him like whatever they want. So at the same Guru Maharaj was saying, like, sometimes nobody except the gopis can say one thing to Krishna. So sometimes they say, it's done with you. I don't want to see your face. Can anybody else say in the whole everything can say to Krishna except the gopis? That's why there are some situations where the gopis says, no, I don't want to talk with you. Please go away. And don't show your face. They used to say that one too, Lord Krishna. And he smiles, he asks everything. It's like so much closeness, right, Mataji? If you have a very close friend, right? Even if the person slaps, you take it very nicely. Wow, he slapped me. Until unless I'm very close to him, but he can't do. And another example Primaraj gave is, sometimes Krishna acts in very, in such a way like, sometimes people when they were small boys, they go for the cowherd in the forest. And everybody gets their own food. They open their boxes and they start eating. And all of a sudden, somebody said, okay, I got very very special laddu, some food. And so only one laddu, and that person already put it in their mouth. Then Krishna jumped onto the person and from the back, he pressed their tummy in such a way, they had to vomit out. They had to spit it out. They had to spit, then Krishna takes that and eat that one. So those things, Mataji, I told I have a problem, right, Mataji? I can visualize the things, right? When Gunavar has space treatment, right, Mataji, I can see the picture. And based on whatever we see on these paintings.
Yeah.
So that's how Krishna reacts. Like, whatever you want, you can just react. That's it. They used to, sometimes they make Krishna to carry them on his back. Because he lost a game. So these are some examples when you were telling, Mataji, I just remembered. I just want to share with you, Mataji. I got some questions, Mataji. Being a dumb, I always ask some dumb and mundane questions, Mataji. Because these things really bother me. So this is the only opportunity I have. I can't ask anybody else except you. So I'm putting my questions, Mataji. Krishna, we always say, right, Mataji, in many movies and everywhere, we say Shyama Sundar. So his abode, right, Mataji, in Goloka, he will be in a blue color, color. But when it comes to material world, sometimes in the same book, they say it's blue, sometimes it's black. And sometimes now I heard a new word, blackish blue, or bluish black. My confusion even exponentially increased, Mother. Now, I'm really confused. What's the color of Krishna?
Yes, bro. So his color is bluish black or blackish blue, however you want to say it. It's a mixture of blue and black. It's like a heavy rain cloud. Like when you see a rain cloud that is very, very heavy, just about to pour, there is a bluish black color to it, right? That rain cloud. It's not a, it's just going to pour, you know, thick black rain cloud. So it is black and blue mixed. That is the color of Krishna.
I see. Okay. Yeah. No, it's confused, Mataji. So the Shyama means this the mixture of black and blue, right, Mataji?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's actually blackish. Yeah. Somewhat dark color. Yeah. Yeah, heavy rain cloud, that is the color of Krishna. Yeah. And also sometimes he's also compared to a blue lotus. There is a particular shade of a blue lotus that is very similar to the blackish cloud, a bluish black cloud. Yeah.
Okay.
And also an atasi flower. There is a flower called as an atasi flower. That is also a bluish black flower. So all these are the comparisons for Krishna's color. But Krishna's color is so transcendental that it's so difficult to exactly say this is it. These are the closest comparisons, they say, these three comparisons. And also, I also heard something else. Yeah, actually, there is a question. I think Rompat Maharaj or someone has answered it. Why is Krishna bluish black? You know, why is his color so? One Maharaj, or maybe he had referred from one of our Acharya's notes. He explains that actually it's a composite of all colors. That is, if you get all the colors in the world, and like, you know, when we do painting, when we used to do painting as a kid, we used to have a palette, you call it, like where you mix colors. So you put all the colors and you start mixing them. Okay, all the colors, yellow, black, red, blue, green, bring all the colors, orange, red. You mix everything, then you'll get one color. It's called as the composite color. That is the color of Krishna. It'll end up in bluish black, that color. So that is another thing that I've read, technical answer by some Acharya. I'm not able to place his name here now, but it's there in one of the question answer sessions, I think, by Rompad Maharaj.
Mataji, thank you. Mataji, all the devotees, they reside in Goloka, Vrindavan, and also Vaikuntha planets. Are there families also, Mataji, or all individuals?
Families also. Like, for example, especially in Vaikuntha, when we read the scriptures about Vaikuntha, it says husband, wife, children, everyone will reside in the spiritual world, yeah. At least in Vaikuntha for sure, yeah. In Goloka Vrindavan is very unique because, yeah, you have elder gopis, you have younger gopis and all that. But as far as the gopis are concerned, the younger ones are concerned who are in Madhuri Rasa with Krishna, the husbands are only present as a concept, you know, more of like, it's called as Abhimana Rupa. That means actually they are thinking they are having husbands, but there is no husband there. So it's a very funny thing in the search. In Goloka Vrindavan, when it comes to the gopis or the manjaris who are in Madhuri Rasa with Krishna, or specifically the gopis in Madhuri Rasa with Krishna, they are thinking they are having husbands, because otherwise there is no question of love. Then it will become marital relationship, right? For the gopis and Krishna, it should be love. It is not. There is no question of marital relationship, okay? It's pure like lovers kind of a relationship. So they are always thinking in their mind they are having husband, but that husband is actually not there in the spiritual world. He is present as an Abhimana Rupa. That means in their mind, there is a Rupa of a husband. They are always thinking, oh, my husband will catch me, like that. So that's the beauty of Parakirasa in spiritual world. But let's not get into it. Anyway, but in the Vaikuntha realm, it is with family, because it specifically says the people who attain Vaikuntha, they are with their beautiful wives and their kids and everything. Vaikuntha is like that. But I don't know how we get to choose our husbands, that I don't know.
Because that reminds me in Bhagavad Bhagavata right, Maharaj, when Gopakumar, when he was traveling, when he first enters the Vaikuntha planets, there he see two persons who protecting the main door, right, Mataji, Dwarapalaka.
Mm.
So he see them with 400 forms, persons. He thinks like he's the Vishnu in himself, those persons, and he started bowing. Then those two persons, they gather from there. You are very pure devotee. Don't pay offenses to me, otherwise we will get offense. So they will be running away. Then Alakashad and then Gopakumar, he notices there's so many people with four hands. And then the story goes like in Vaikuntha planets, everybody, all male looks like Narayan, and all female looks like Lakshmi Devi. Right, Madhavi?
Yeah.
So, In fact, you already warned me, Madhavi, not getting into those details, but I still have one question, Madhavi.
Prabhu, it's okay, Prabhu. You can ask anything, Prabhu. It's not about we should not get into details. We can.
When you say the gopis, they have Abhimana Rupa, right, Mataji? But all people are the same things. That means they see Krishna, even thinking in the mood of like a husband, but they still see the Vishnu form only, right, Mataji? Narayana only. Or I guess like in Golaka, everybody looks like Krishna, right, Mataji? All male, they look like Krishna.
In Goloka Vrindavan?
Yeah, that's a question, Mataji. Like in Vaikuntha, I heard somewhere like all male look like Narayan, all female look like Lakshmi.
Correct.
Is this followed in Goloka Vrindavan, Madhavi, or do they have separate faces?
As far as I have understood, they have separate features or separate age groups also. Not everyone is the same. Like, for example, like there are elder gopis, there are sakhas, gopas' friends. Then there are little manjaris who are smaller than the gopis. They are in a smaller age, eternally in a different age. So like that, they have different bodily forms, as far as I have understood Goloka Vrindavan, Prabhu. Because it is very unique. Goloka Vrindavan is a lot of variety, Prabhu.
Sure, Mataji. Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for sharing.
Four-handed form, everyone getting sarupya. Like that, there is nowhere mention about Goloka Vrindavan, Prabhu.
Sure. Mataji, you gave very nice description about those rasas, Mataji. Different types of devotees, right? Like Gnana, Shuddha, Premabhata, Prema, Shudaya, and Prema Paravait, Mataji. Then I got a question at that time, Mataji, but later you answered that question, Mataji, in your answer. Because if you take the Shuddha Bhakta section, right, Mataji, in that one, when it comes like, Charanagati kind of thing, right, Mataji? I forgot the Rasa name, Mataji, where Hanuma comes into picture, right, Mataji? At the same time, you also mentioned in, Prema Bhakta also, Hanuma is given as example, pure loving servitude and pure loving service. So then I understood, Mataji. So the rasas are mixed. It's not like just one person falls into one category. So they may fall into different rasas based on how they see the Lord. Thank you, Mataji. Understanding is, Mataji, the Viraja River, you said, I'm sure, Mataji, you must have read Garuda Purana, right, Mataji? Usually in South India, when the elderly person passed away, right, they read Garuda Purana. People, they think it's inauspicious to keep Garuda Purana in home also. The priest, they think it's inauspicious and they ask the priest to get it from some temple or someplace. Like some people, they have very bad thing, like keeping Lord Narasimha there in the home, the way that he's killing the Hiranyakashipu Raja Mataji, it's also a bad sin. Of course, I'm 100% against those things, Mataji. So my question, Mataji, so here the Viraja River, which separates, Viraja River is a Karana ocean, right, Mataji? Kajol ocean?
Yes.
So
yes.
The Kajol ocean, which separates material world and the Vaikuntha planet, the spiritual world. So, but in Garuda Purana also, right, Mataji, when the person dies, his subtle body and soul calmness, right, Mataji, that will be taken through all these different stages for 1 year. So, because our 1 month is 1 day for them. So, it will be passing through all these layers, different kind of, what you call, junctions, and what are the Pindapradana will do? So, they get food end of the day. Otherwise, they will be, like, starving, even though they don't have body. So there also they say there is one river. That river is so it's full of stool, pus, blood, and everything, and it's stinky and it's so worse. They will die seeing that one itself. At that time, one has to pass through those things. It's Yamadutas, right? They will drag this person, subtle body, through that river. It's like a big punishment before even they reach the hell. So at that time, they prescribe like you have to give godan. So that you can get hold of the tail of the cow, and it's easy to cross that one. So, Mataji, both the names are Viraja River only, right? The one, the casual ocean, which separates material and spiritual world, and also within this material world, the Antarjaya River, right, Mataji? There are two different things, right?
Yeah, they are two different things, Prabhu. I don't know if they have the same name, because I don't remember the name, maybe.
I'm sorry, Mataji. I'm confused. It is Vaitarini River, Mataji.
Vaitarini, correct.
Yes, Vaitarini. Yeah, I just remembered that one, Mataji. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's true. There's a river there, and then in the hellish planets, 28 hells or something, right? So before you enter that, you have to go through this process,
Yes, Mataji. Mataji, one last topic, Mataji. Thank you so much. Every time I get confused about this Yogamaya, Mataji. They say Yogamaya, and just shut my mouth. Because I can't ask what it is actually this Yogamaya is all about. You gave so many examples, like facilitates Krishna and helps the devotees, and you gave such an example, Sayyidi Mataji. Now it's, the Yogamaya is called Purnamasi, and it's the same thing, the Shobhadra in Ekamasi, all those things, Sayyidi Mataji. Now I got clear understanding, Mataji. So the same Yogamaya, she takes different roles and different things at the same time. With different rupas. I was thinking it's all like a subtle thing. I mean, you don't see. It's like a mind illusion kind of thing. But so she comes in a form. That's good to know, Mataji. Now I'm clear, Mataji. Thank you so much. Sorry, Mataji. I think I spoke more than you spoke.
No, Prabhu, it was so nice. The discussion is always the best part, Prabhu. And you really made it so interesting today. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Mataji. And,
And that's true.
Mataji, maybe you can end the recording if everything is done, if the discussion is completed.
Because I know, I think both Prabhu and Mataji had dropped us a while ago, so we can stop now. Okay. Okay. Start.